Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Yourself for non-stop hilarity. The funniest 15 minutes of your life or any other. Senator Obama, the microphone is all yours.
Contrary to the rumors that you've heard, I was not born in a manger. I was actually born on Krypton and sent here by my father, Jor-El, to save the planet Earth.
That's the immediate cry of the gospel, not who's married to whom, or who is adopting children and who shouldn't, who is serving as a bishop in the church.
Anybody who has ever corresponded with me in any fashion whatsoever will quickly tell you that I don't respond to email. I don't answer my phone. Jeff can instant message me here in the middle of the program. I might read it. I might not read it. I might pay attention to it. Sometimes they have to tap on the glass just to get me to read what he's written. Well, not so with our listener email. One of the best parts about Issues Etc. is that every Friday we get to sit down and respond to as much listener email as we can fit into a half hour, and that's what we're going to do on this Friday, October the 24th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We have a lot of email to respond to. I hope we get to most of it. After we listen to what you have to say via email and respond, we're going to play Issues Etc. blog of the week. Jeff has his pick. I have mine. You'll hear what they are and how to have your blog considered for Issues Etc. blog of the week a little bit later. Soundbite of the week follows that. That rounds off the first hour of the program. Senator Barack Obama and abortion will be the subject in the second hour of the program, at least the beginning. We'll start with Colleen Carroll Campbell, a weekly columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and author of the book, The New Faithful. And then Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will round off his five-part series with us this week on answering the objections of unbelievers today. Are there errors? Are there contradictions in the Bible? And is the Bible reliable? We'll answer those questions with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery later in the program. You can give us a call anytime in the next 2 hours. 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or you can email us right here in the studio. If we don't get it in real time and we get it later, we'll respond to it later. We promise. Talkback at issuesetc.org. But Jeff is constantly checking email, so we never miss anything. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Up first, listener email. What's first?
As promised, Peter in Hampton, Iowa. We told Peter earlier this week during the Issues Etc. listener comment line we'd get to his email first, so here it is. This is regard to a show we did a couple weeks ago, should Christians help prepare Ramadan meals for their Muslim neighbors? This was being done by a church, I believe, in Indonesia. Peter says, I want to comment on the church serving Muslims. Wouldn't this include helping your neighbor? Also, I would like to say I'm a 12-year-old and I listen to your show every night. Sounds like a future pastor to me.
Yeah, and a present fan. Very good to hear from you, Peter. We are sorry that last Friday, since Jeff was on the road and I was sleeping or something, we didn't get a chance to respond to your email sooner than we have. Okay, in response to your question, I think there's a difference here with the Ramadan question. If a Christian congregation in a Muslim nation, as was the story, is simply going to make meals that it offers for free or for some nominal price to people who are hungry, be they Muslim or anyone else, I think that's well within what the church has been given to do by way of serving its neighbor there, wherever God has put that church. That's a good thing. The problem comes in preparing the Ramadan meal, which is part of breaking a fast, which is really, I mean, we did this series on the five pillars of Islam. It is one of the major components of Islam and the practice of their faith. Should a Christian church be preparing Ramadan meals for Muslims as part of their religious observance. And there you've, at least in my mind, you've come very close to crossing a line in just from just feeding your neighbor, just helping him, to participating in his religious rituals, which Christians should stick to their own rituals and not try and become part of non-Christian rituals. Never really, people will say, wouldn't it be a great witness if they could see us doing this? Witnessing to what? Witnessing to what? We use this word witness as though, well, wouldn't it be neat if we were there? Sometimes witness in the minds of some Christians is just showing up, just being there. Well, visibility isn't witness. Witness is testifying to Jesus Christ, testifying to his saving work on our behalf, to believers and to unbelievers. So if they're just preparing Ramadan meals, it can't be called a witness. It could be called helping them carry out their religious rituals. And again, that's distinct from a church simply feeding the poor or feeding those who are hungry. And it's a great question, Peter. Thank you very much.
Linda has a question. I'm involved with a high school youth Bible study, and we have been asked tasked to approach a pastor with the following question. One, was hell created? Two, were the angels created?
Well, those are good questions. By all means, go to your pastor and ask him the question. If you're seeking my thoughts on it, I think the answer to both questions is yes. The angels most certainly were created. They do not exist from all eternity, as does their creator, God. When exactly they were created in the story of creation, we're not told. We're given to believe from Scripture that there is an entire realm in our universe which is not visible to us. We call it spiritual world or things unseen, but these other creations of God that we do not yet see, and originally all of them good, all in God's service, there's a whole world out there that we can't see. And I'm not talking about looking through a telescope. I'm talking about the unseen world that God has created. And he hasn't told us a lot about it, except that in this creation, which we presume to have taken place in the course of God's ordinary six-day creation, he also created angels. And somewhere between his creation of them and the fall of man, they fell. Not all of them, but some of them fell and were cast from God's presence. And to be outside of God's presence is to be in hell. So wherever he cast them, that place he prepared for the devil and all his angels, is outside of God's gracious presence. We don't think about hell as a place, but as really it is a state outside of God's gracious presence. And so, yes, both hell and the angels, good and bad, were created. The angels were not created bad, but they rebelled. And those who fell, we can only conclude, were confirmed in their rebellion, and those who did not fall are confirmed in their holiness.
By the way, I'm working on scheduling an interview with Dr. Jeff Gibbs on hell, Dr. Lewis Brighton on Satan, and we already have one scheduled November 11th with Ron Rhodes on angels.
Good. Excellent.
Jim in Minnesota, your interview with Deaconess Pam Nielsen on the subject of children and worship was excellent. In light of it, I thought you might appreciate the absurdity of the following story. Before my wife and I came to Reformation Christianity, we were attending a large evangelical megachurch in Minnesota. The pastor believed, and actually stated from the pulpit / plexiglass music stand, that children were a tool of the devil used to distract believers from hearing God's word. He stated that as a tool of Satan, they tend to cry during the most crucial times of his sermons. For this reason, they were not allowed to attend church. I've heard a lot of crazy things spoken from the plexiglass stand during my evangelical days, but especially now, as the parent of a two-year-old, it strikes me as probably the most ridiculous thing uttered in church. Pastor Wilkin, I believe you stated that you would often hear your young children babbling the truths of Holy Scripture from their cribs. I have found this to be the case for my son as well. Far from being the tool of the devil, I now believe that a child's cry in church is a blessing of God, reminding us that he is also renewing their minds by word and sacrament. Enjoy the show. Great to have you guys back. Thanks for the email, Jim in Minnesota.
Very well said. Very, very well said. And thanks for listening in Minnesota. I would add to some critique of what this previous evangelical pastor said from the plexiglass stand. I'd like to know what he considered the most crucial parts of his sermons that the babies were interrupting. It may well be that these young children knew better than their pastor and were crying and screaming during the parts that God didn't want the people to hear. Maybe they weren't tools of Satan. Maybe they were tools of God himself. If the pastor's up there blathering on about how you need to do more, keep busier, or perhaps Jesus is your helper and your inspiration, your financial advisor, or your life coach, I'm glad the babies were crying during that one. The fewer people that can hear that drivel, the better off we are. And it's sad that the babies have to be the ones to raise their voices and say, Pastor, shut up. Give us Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Listeners will be glad to know Todd is wearing his Corona hat today, the orange Corona hat.
Soon to be replaced by.
Oh, yeah, you're getting a new Chilada hat. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm looking forward to it.
In light of that conversation of whether or not pastors should be wearing, you know, T-shirts or apparel that promotes alcohol, Broer in Utah writes, I regularly wear a T-shirt from the Beer Nut in Salt Lake City. It reads, Make wine, Jesus did. The thing is that many here in Utah are relieved to know that Jesus didn't frown on alcohol. It's a great way to reach out to those broken by the LDS self-righteousness, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Here it is a matter of comforting the weaker brothers who needlessly feel guilty because of Pharisaical brothers who make up laws to bind others. Thanks for the email from Utah.
Oh, that's great. Very good to hear. And all of these are kind of a case-by-case basis. Now, if a Christian were, say, in a Muslim country, I was thinking about this the other day. If a Christian were in a Muslim country, and he were trying to be, even visibly, the best presentation of the Christian to his Muslim neighbors, he would probably do well not to wear a Corona hat or a Budweiser T-shirt because those things are forbidden to Muslims. And he would need to accommodate himself to their false beliefs so that he wouldn't create an unneeded obstacle. The weaker brother is a different story. When we come back, more of your listener email.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
Have you been hungering for a richer life of prayer and meditation on God's Word? Well, Concordia Publishing House is pleased to bring you Treasury of Daily Prayer. It's coming in October. To experience Treasury of Daily Prayer, click the book cover on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can order an advance copy of Treasury of Daily Prayer by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Wait, oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait,
wait, hey, 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 Mr. Postman.
Mr. Postman, look and see. Oh,
breaks aren't long enough. I was jotting something down. I had a brilliant idea spurred off by one of our emails. I just hope I remember what the rest of it's supposed to say when I try and write the rest of the sentence after this segment. Martha in Louisville, Kentucky emails us. She says, please emphasize that hell is separation from God's gracious presence, but I do believe it's as literal as heaven. Because, look, here's one of those objections that the kind of the ignorant unbeliever might raise. Well, we've looked through the Hubble telescope as far out as we can possibly look with our current technology, and we haven't seen God. We haven't seen heaven. We just see more stars and more universe as far as the eye can see. Because they assume that the Bible teaches that heaven is some sort of an area out in the universe, a geographical location in the universe, that they could, if they could see far enough, actually observe. Or that hell is beneath the ground or something like that. The Bible teaches neither of these things. It teaches simply that to be in God's gracious presence is to be in heaven, and to be outside of God's gracious presence is to be in hell. And in eternity, those things will be experienced bodily and in their fullness. In this life, only a glimpse of it is seen, but it still exists.
Daniel in the Twin Cities writes regarding your statement that you like drinking chelada beer, Bud Chelada.
Not like, love.
Okay. Okay. Well, here's what Daniel thinks of your love of chelada. Man prees and ladies drinks? What do they teach at seminary? That's what Daniel thinks about your chelada, buddy.
Okay, so he's raising the old man prees question again, which takes us back to like week three of our return. For those who aren't aware of the whole man prees controversy surrounding me, there's a pair of cargo shorts I wear that apparently in some picture that's on our website appear too much to some of our listeners as capris, you know, those kind of short pants that women wear that come right below the knee. They're cargo shorts. They're not man prees. But if you want to call them man prees, that's fine. And as Craig insinuated the last time we had our chelada conversation, somehow this is a drink for women. Until you've tried it, you can make no such statement. Now, if the ladies like chelada, then they've got a friend in me.
Craig, now we know why he's quite the ladies' man. Right, Craig?
Now, I have one lady. Actually, I have two. Well, three. My mom, my dear wife, and my daughter. That's the limit of my consorting with the women. I will point out this, though. I went to a website recommended by one of our listeners to see how the beer aficionados rate chelada. They don't think much of it. The beer snobs don't like chelada, which in my book, only wins it higher praise, because I have no time for beer snobs. Beer isn't that great that there should be an entire realm of snobbery devoted to it. The worst beer you ever had was not that much worse than the best beer you ever had.
And attribute that quote to my dad. Your father.
And there are too many beer snobs among Lutheran pastors. It's just terrible. You go to a pastor's conference and they're all turning up their nose at perfectly good beer because it wasn't brewed at home, or it wasn't this or that. Or please, if you want to be a snob about wine, go ahead. A snob about whiskey, whatever. A snob about food, fine. But beer just doesn't rise to the level of snobbery in my book.
I'm standing with you on the beer snob issue, but thumbs down on chelada.
Well,
okay?
Until you tried it, man. Until you've tried it.
All right, here's Carolyn writes, while listening to last week's broadcast via iTunes.
Oh, we do love our online or on-demand listeners. Thank you.
He's quick on the pickup there. I nearly spit my tonsils across my office when you spoke about your pet peeve people who think that you are biased toward conservatives. After listening to Molly, Mark, you, and others, how could you expect us to think otherwise? I hear you interview one neoconservative after another. One of the female guests talked about how excited she was that McCain chose premillennial dispensationalist Sarah Palin. I don't remember hearing you interview a Democrat on the selection of Joe Biden or any other left-leaning guests. You stated that you are a one-issue voter because of abortion. But then I hear you talking to and about military chaplains who support our troops in an immoral war. Are pregnant Iraqi women who are blown to bits with their children by U.S. soldiers relegated to the status of collateral damage and thereby not mourn for. I think Joe Sobrin said it well. The Democrats have become the abortion party, and the Republicans have become the war party. Neither side truly embraces life anymore. Finally, Carolyn writes, my LCMS brother turned me on to Issues Etc., and I enjoy downloading the podcast daily. I have learned much and enjoy most of your guests. The series on the creeds is wonderful. Rod Rosenblatt is always a pleasure to listen to. Thanks for having articulate women on regularly. Too often women are still dumped into the wife and mommy heap and are not expected to think. Thanks for not caving into the church growth silliness. Thanks for the email, Carolyn.
All right, Carolyn, thank you very much. We do love our on-demand listeners, even when they disagree with us. I got to correct the last thing she said there. To, quote-unquote, dump women into the mommy and wife heap is not in any sense whatsoever to say that they can't think. Some of the smartest people in the world I know are moms and wives. They kind of have to be. A couple things here. I don't think we've ever said we are not biased toward or biased with conservatives. We've never claimed that. I'll wear the conservative label all you want. Not neoconservative, but conservative. What we're talking about is parties. We try our darndest within our pro-life, pro-family convictions to be as even-handed with the parties, Republican and Democrat, such as they are, as we can possibly be. My pet peeve is not with those who lump us into a conservative category, but my pet peeve is with those who simply lump us into a Republican category. Call us pro-life, call us conservative, call us pro-family. I'll accept all of those things. And I think the military chaplains should be supporting the troops regardless of what war they're fighting in. I think they should be preaching the gospel to the troops regardless of the morality of the war they may be fighting in. The chaplains are there to bring the word of God. They're not there to support any particular war or any particular battle or effort. They're there to serve the troops with the word of God, even if they do believe that the war is immoral. And, you know, Christians can disagree about that one.
One caveat, I think you would say social conservative, because conservative is a pretty broad category as well.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
All right. Let's see. Here's a question. Does Issues Etc. possess nonprofit 501c3 status?
Let's see. The last time I checked, Lutheran Public Radio has applied for and is in the process of receiving, which means these judgments are retroactive back to our application. A full
501c3.
Yeah, 501c or C3, whichever one it is. Nonprofit status. And that application was made months and months and months ago. So when the IRS finally gets around to granting the application, it's all retroactive to the original date of the application. So no one needs to worry.
It should have it any day now.
Is that what they say?
We applied in April, and they say it should take no longer 6 months. So we're any day now, but I've been told that for the last couple of weeks. And believe me, we'll be announcing it.
We've got people much more powerful and influential than us bugging the Internal Revenue Service about our applications.
And so, you did mention the retroactive.
Yeah, it's all retroactive to the original date of the application, so no one needs to worry about whether or not they've got a tax-deductible gift.
Here's a question regarding yesterday's interview on the problem of evil with Dr. Montgomery Joe in St. Louis. Isn't it evil ultimately judgment for sin? Therefore, God cannot stop all evil because he would be stopping all judgment, acting unjustly.
It's a good point. I wouldn't say that evil is ultimately God's judgment for sin. It's not as though God permits evil only to judge sin. So I'd quibble with the word ultimately, but I would say God permits evil in part because he punishes sin with the evils. In a temporal sense, he punishes sin, keeps creation in order and mankind in order by this disciplinary action by which he uses some evils in the world, not all evils in the world. There's some evils in the world that God does not use by way of judging sin. And I can think, we wouldn't want to say, for instance, that the evil of abortion is God's way of punishing sin in the world. I don't think we'd want to say that. But there are other ways, other evils that exist in this fallen creation, which God will employ by way of discipline and by way of punishment in the temporal sense. So you're right there, Joe.
Time for one final comment. Mary writes, thanks so much for having Pam Nielsen back on Issues Etc. I have really missed her. Thanks for the email, and we missed her as well.
Yeah, we missed her too, and it was very nice to have her back. I think we're planning on having her back sometime soon. Pam was in the time when we used to do the Sunday school half hours with her, probably in any given Issues Etc. broadcast week, one of the more popular segments that we did, so it's great to have her back. Boy, we didn't get to that much email. I wanted to get to some more. But there's always next week, and there's always more email. When we come back from this break, Issues Etc. blog of the week. Jeff's made his pick. I've made mine. We'll share them with you, and I'll tell you how you can have your blog, if you've got one, considered for Issues Etc. blog of the week. And then we'll round off this first hour of the program playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got four soundbites. One from Wesley Smith, one from Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, from Pastor Mike Kettner, and Bart Day and Robert George. Those sound bites, we'll present them to you here in about 5 minutes, and we'll play Issues Etc. sound bite of the week. Then hour two, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery and Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us then. Stay tuned.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe. Came from you.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Serena Ball, Pastor Joseph Ekman, Pastor Paul Peckman, Benjamin Wirth, Scott Strokirk, Mickey Horstman, Jesse Meyer, Peter Dominguez, Barry O'Connell, and Stephen Newell. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Missouri State University, home of the Bears, resides in the heart of America. So you'd think it'd be open to an academic discussion on the issue of abortion. Not so much. A pro-life student group, Bears for Life, set up 4,000 small crosses representing the number of babies killed by abortion in one day. But so-called pro-choice students would have none of it. They blatantly vandalized the touching display. One student rode his bike through it, causing additional damage. This is an alarming trend hitting several college and university campuses. In one case, a professor led the vandals on their rampage. Remember the liberals' battle cries for tolerance and the free exchange of opposing ideas? Where are they now when opinions they don't hold are being stomped into the dirt?
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. issuesetc.org.